Science says that life has existed on Earth for millions of years. However, Ariel Roth points out significant evidence in support of a much shorter time frame. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. Tyrannosaurus Rex, the king of the dinosaurs, is said to have lived 66 million years ago, and some scientists claim to have discovered fossils of simple life that are more than 3,465 million years old. In sharp contrast, the Bible indicates that God created the various forms of life just a few thousand years ago during creation week. Following this came the great Genesis flood, which biblical creationists understand to be responsible for much of the fossil record. So which model is correct, science or the Bible? With our average lifespans of 60 to 80 years, obviously no living human being has ever been around long enough to observe what happened even 6,000 years ago, the approximate biblical time span for life on Earth, to say nothing of millions of years proposed by current scientific thinking. So we are left with examining rocks, fossils, and other pieces of evidence to calculate the age of the Earth and life upon it. Some data, emphasized by most scientists, tends to support the longer time span. However, other data supports a shorter age for the Earth. It's this latter that we will examine in this article. In support of the long ages of Earth's history, scientists rely heavily on radiometric dating of minerals and carbon-14 dating of fossils. However, these two methods sometimes disagree. Some mineral samples that are assumed to be millions of years old by radiometric dating give carbon-14 dates of 30,000 to 80,000 years. Of course, even the maximum 80,000-year carbon-14 dates are still much older than the few thousand years since creation as indicated in the Bible. One possible explanation for these older carbon-14 dates is that there was a lower concentration of carbon-14 before the Great Genesis Flood. The less carbon-14 a fossil had to begin with, the older it will appear to be today. There's significant evidence that's hard to explain for those who believe in many millions of years. Especially noteworthy are the current rates of geologic changes, which are occurring much too rapidly to have operated over such long geologic ages. One example is the rainwater that keeps slowly eroding away the surface of our continents, carrying sediment into streams and rivers, which then carry it to the oceans. Numerous studies have been conducted on the amount of sediment that all rivers of the world are carrying into the oceans. These studies indicate that the continents are being eroded at the average rate of about 200 feet per million years. That seems slow to us humans, who live 60 to 80 years, or to 100 if we're lucky. However, the average height of our continents is only 2,044 feet, which means that they should have washed away entirely into the oceans in about 10 million years. A further complication is that our humanity's modern agricultural practices speed up erosion, so it would have been slower in the past. Taking that into account, one can very conservatively calculate that erosion should have leveled our continents at least 100 times during the proposed long geologic eons. Yet, they are still here. Geologists suggest that the reason the continents are still here is that they are slowly being renewed by uplift from below. However, this conclusion fails to take into account that geologic layers from very old to much more recent are still very well represented on all the continents, and we do not seem to have gone through even one complete cycle of erosion and renewal. It looks more like the great waters of the Genesis flood rapidly laid down most of the sedimentary layers. As these waters receded, they eroded chasms like the Colorado River's Grand Canyon. And there has not been much time for extended slower erosion since then. Another consideration is that the sediments that the rivers carry to the oceans should eventually fill them up. But the volume of sediments found in the oceans is only a fraction of 1% of what would be expected from the world's rivers during the 2,000 to 4,000 million years proposed for the ages of the continents. Some geologists have suggested that the reason there is so little sediment in the oceans is as the Earth's huge tectonic plates have sunk under other ones, that they have transported the ocean sediment deeper into the Earth. The problem with this argument is that the amount of sediment that is being subducted is estimated to be only 10 to 20% of the sediment that the world's rivers carry to the oceans. Also, there are some very flat surfaces on the Earth that are assumed to be very old, yet do not show the ravages of erosion. Are these flat surfaces as old as they're said to be? An example of this phenomenon is Kangaroo Island in Australia, which is some 90 miles long and has a very flat surface except at one end. According to radiometric dating and fossil correlation, the surface of Kangaroo Island is supposed to be 160 million years old. This age would suggest that at least 3 miles of erosion should have occurred, yet the surface is flat, suggesting that little erosion has occurred. It looks very much like Kangaroo Island is not that old. The same lack of confidence for erosion over time is seen in many places between the sedimentary rock layers of the Earth, where significant parts of the geological column are missing. According to the Standard Geologic Column, the layers of sediment around the world are laid down in a certain order. Yet, in many cases, significant parts of this column are missing. When these gaps are between flat layers, geologists call them paraconformities or disconformities. These flat gaps can be huge, covering major parts of continents. Geologists propose that no sedimentary layers were laid down in these regions because they were elevated. However, over the millions of years suggested for these gaps, there should be either deposition or erosion, for no part of our restless planet can escape the ravages of weather for such long periods. The problems these flat gaps pose for the idea of long geologic ages is that if there is deposition of the layers over time, there should be no gap because the layers just keep building up. On the other hand, if there is no erosion over time, the lower surface of the gap should be highly irregular. Since there is no evidence of either significant deposition or significant erosion, as would be expected over long geologic ages, the conclusion seems reasonable that little time has occurred at these gaps. And these flat gaps are so common all over the Earth that they provide rather strong evidence that millions of years proposed in the geologic layers never occurred. Three major gaps in the Grand Canyon are assumed to represent 6, 14, and 100 million years. During these times, an average of 600, 1,400, and 10,000 feet of erosion would be expected to have occurred. However, today's canyon is only about 5,000 feet deep. Another geologic factor that contradicts the proposed long geologic ages of the Earth's history is that the world's major mountain ranges are rising much too fast. Mount Everest is currently rising at the rate of 4 millimeters per year, which in 100 million years would result in a mountain 250 miles high, and erosion rates are much too slow to compensate for that. Also, volcanoes are currently producing lava, cinders, and ash at too rapid a rate to fit with the standard model for geologic ages. If the present rate of volcanic production had been extended over the proposed thousands of millions of years, we should expect volcanic material to be at least 12 miles thick over the entire surface of the Earth. Also intriguing in this recent discovery of fresh-looking soft tissue in dinosaur fossils that are assumed to be 78 million years old, yet protein molecules are expected to survive much less than 1 million years. The conclusion seems evident that many things are currently happening much too fast to fit the proposed long geologic ages of Earth's history. Did humans slowly evolve from ape-like ancestors over millions of years, or were we created more recently by God as the Bible indicates. The evolutionary theory proposes that humanity has existed from between 200,000 and 500,000 years, and our genus Homo for 2 or more million years. However, there's significant data to challenge that assumption. For instance, the human population doubles its size in less than a century. If we go back and cut the present size of the human population in half every century, only a few thousand years are required to come up with two individuals who are necessary to get humanity started. However, if human beings have been around for hundreds of thousands of years, it's necessary to postulate extremely low rates of population growth in the past compared to what we now observe. The recentness of humanity is also substantiated by solid evidence that human activity, such as writing and architectural edifices, such as pyramids and aqueducts, all date back only a few thousand years. Why were such good evidences not produced earlier if humanity has been around for hundreds of thousands of years? Genetic mutations that modify our DNA cause it to degenerate. Recent evidence indicates that a newborn baby has some 60 mutations that its parents did not have. At that rate, humanity should have degenerated to the point of extinction a long time ago. Scientists wonder how humanity has survived for hundreds of thousands of years against such damaging odds. Perhaps the answer is that humanity has not been around that long. Extremely strong evidence in the support of the idea that a divine mind created the world is the complexity of even the simplest of living things. The human brain is far more complex than the most sophisticated modern computer. And the reproductive systems of even the simplest forms of life, to say nothing about the ability of humans to reproduce our bodies and brains, leads us to ask, could this have arisen all by itself? It also seems extremely unlikely that the incredible precision required of the universe could have come about by accident. Science has produced an amazing world of communication, travel, and healthcare. Thus, it deserves our highest respect. However, for all its benefits, there are limits to what it can investigate, and it continues to modify its conclusions. What seems to be true today may prove to be incorrect tomorrow. On the other hand, significant evidence supports the Bible's account for our world's beginning.